this is the reason why I never got into J. Cole. Because,
oh,
like,
boy. Yeah.
Fake tough, dude. Fake tough.
Married yourself.
That was less about Christine, more about this is who you married, Spencer, doing a podcast about tech, which is lame. Danny,
super cool. Yeah,
there was an insane thing that I watched via Christine a couple weeks ago, and it was a girl saying, just like casually, in on like they were maybe recording a podcast, who knows, but they were like, the girl was like, yeah, so whenever I'm on a flight, be it, you know, international, domestic, short, long, I pick one solitary song and I listen to it the entire time. Like, we're talking, she was like,
I'm sorry, what?
I have gone to Australia, one song, whole time.
What?
I know. That was my first thing too. Me and Christine were like, that's absolutely psychotic.
Yeah, that's psycho shit.
But to use it, if you had to do that.
Oh no.
And we're
talking
like a 10-hour flight.
Oh,
right.
God.
So you're going like direct to 10 hours, like what? That's like Hawaii. Somewhere around there. So you're going direct to Hawaii, coming back from Hawaii. What is the singular song you are going to choose? And just because we both could go into our, like, well, technically this is one song and it's a whole album type of shit. Don't get to do that. Okay. Has to be an actual track.
Yeah.
Not saying it can't be long, but it can't be like this whole album's one song. So it's I'll pick the album. That would be a cop out, and I'm saying it's not allowed.
I would probably do you know what? Because I'm thinking about some good dynamic range in this song. Just so, like, the ear fatigue is what I get worried about the most. 10 straight hours repeats on top of like losing my mind after like even the third listen, I'd say.
Yeah.
Songs that I love. I would probably go with Dance Yourself Clean, LCD Sound
by
System. LCD
Who is
Sound
that?
System.
LCD Sound System, Dance Yourself Clean. Now, LCDs, I don't know that song specifically, but they do some longer songs. Like, what are we playing with time-wise?
That one's like a 5-minute-er, I think, if I'm not mistaken. Okay. And so it's like it starts off very slow. It's got like a really big drum build-up at the end. Mm. Let me make sure it's actually Dance Yourself Clean. Yeah, this is... actually, it's... 9 minutes.
Okay, yeah, because I was like, it could be a longer one, but I think that's a good, like, because my thoughts were kind of going to, obviously, like, the first thought was, well, what Coheed song? Honestly, there's a ton I could listen to for 10 hours in a row, because I am also a crazy person who will sometimes, not on a flight, but, like, I'll listen to a song, like, 3 times in a row. If I'm really vibing with it,
sure.
You know, like I'm a person who re-listens to music a lot.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it's not like I don't do that for sure.
Yeah. But like, you know, to the point of like, 10 hours. No. But I was thinking Coheed, but then I was like, thing about Coheed is there's not really songs that I would say don't have too much, you know, like Coheed's not known for not having excess in the sense of there's a lot of shit going on.
Yeah.
So that could be a little tough. But there's also some that I'm like, well, maybe it could work. But what I was actually ended up thinking about, if I'm going 10 hours, kind of a cop out, but not really. It's this song from the Microphones album, Mount Eerie, before the Microphones became the band Mount Eerie and released music under that moniker.
Good God, that's a mouthful of a pretext. Okay.
Yeah. but it's from the album Mount Eerie. It's the first song. It's called The Sun. and it's 13 minutes and 41 seconds, I want to say, maybe 42 seconds. Keep me honest on that, Danny.
1712.
Oh, I'm actually thinking of a different Sun song from Cut Copy. That's 13 minutes and something seconds, and also would be a good one, but that's not the one. So the Sun, 17 minutes. Most of it is slow building ambient noise into drums into like a 2 minute long song at the end.
Okay.
So like the thing is, that's such a long, slow build that a lot of it wouldn't be that annoying.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if I had to choose just a straight up, got to listen to like a single length song, like a single, like 3 minutes, 30 seconds, it would probably be Charlie XCX.
Wow.
Which one? No, maybe not. Oh, man, it's hard when it gets to a single length.
Because we both picked long ones. We both went very similar, like slow builds, quiet, low, and then regular song at the end.
You know what? I would say then it might be like Bleed American by Jimmy Eat World.
Oh, that's just not like, bad.
Because it's like every single time it hits. It's like quick enough where it's almost like I can forget I listened to it, and like still every time I hear that chorus, I'm into it. Like maybe something like that where it's like it's a bop, kind of down the middle bop, but not doing too much.
Yeah, if I had to pick a Linkin Park song in the normal length, it's probably Somewhere I Belong, because I do love re-listening to Meteora. It's like easily digestible. It's like a tight 35. So something like that would go for me. That's tough though.
It's a tough one. Man. I do have to say, one of my first thoughts was Numb Encore Jay-Z Linkin Park. I was like, I think I could do that 10 straight. I love that song.
That's a banger. Man, that's so crazy that they had MTV had this whole plan to like do multiple of those mashup series, and then they're like, yeah, we're just not going to.
Well, I mean, you do the first one and it's that. And it's like, well, this isn't going to work like this again. Yeah. So it makes sense. But man, that was what a moment. What a moment of music.
Welcome to the DMGT podcast. I'm your host, Danny.
And I'm Spencer.
And hey, I hope you didn't get blinded by the eclipse. If you looked at it straight in the face, apparently the Google search for my eyes hurt spiked.
That makes sense. I mean, it makes sense. Like, unfortunately, it makes sense.
Yeah, bummer.
It's
bummer.
It's one of those things. Man, Christine, we were out there, and she asked, she's like, why are they like so obsessed about like saying like don't look at the sun? It's like, that's the thing we always say. Like, you're not supposed to look at the sun. And I was like, well, I think the difference is when you're looking at an eclipse, the whole thing about it is looking directly at where the sun is. So it's, I think that's why. It's because it's the only time like you're being asked to look at the sun.
Yep.
So
yep.
They have to really hit it extra hard of like, but don't act like not for, don't do it. Yeah. It's crazy. It is. Yeah. Crazy to be in a 95% totality area and like just kind of, it got a little bit like cloudy looking.
I'm
like, dude, that sun, pretty powerful thing.
Yeah, I was like, man, this is 5-6% of the sun and it's still this bright. Like, man.
Yeah.
Stars are cool, really, dude.
Dude, it was giving me, I was like thinking about the movie Sunshine and like, you know, all like when they're talking about the sun, they're like, give me 1%.
Yeah. It was funny that you're like, you texted me with like, oh, it looks like they turned down the
anti-aliasing,
because it did kind of look like trippy. It did look a little
like
trippy.
a little shimmering.
It's like no. For me, it was like the ambient occlusion. It's like if like you removed all the ambient occlusion of a game. That's how it kind of looked outside, a little bit as well. I don't know. It was trippy. I remember in 2017, I didn't catch like the full peak of it because we were at work. And this one, I was like, man, this is weird. Like leading right into like when the peak coverage was hitting the Chicagoland area, I was like, it's getting weird vibes. I'm like, yeah, this is cool. Yeah. This is super cool. It was like one of those moments where like, yeah, I totally understand why ancient civilizations were like, the sun god, dude. Like,
no, we gotta watch out. You know what's crazy? Now this is yet another plug for PBS Spacetime, because whenever there's like an astrological event, they do an episode, and the episode about the eclipse is basically starts with, like, we've been able to predict and figure these things out since like the 1500s.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And like the ancient societies knew that the earth was round. Specifically, one of the reasons was because they were able to calculate and understand how could an eclipse be happening. And the only way it could be happening is if everything was round.
Yeah. That's
like it just doesn't so work. Like, 'cause they were like, at first, the way he explains is like the first thing that made them go, I don't think the earth is flat, this thing might be a round sphere, is the way that ships disappear on the horizon. They disappear from the bottom up, not from any other way. And so they're like, that seems like it's going down, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah. What goes down? Curves,
yeah.
And then they're like looking at the sun, and like the moon blocks the sun, and then they're like, wait a second. We're all just circles.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's a pretty good summary of the entire video.
It's great. Man, it was cool. I managed to get some decent pictures of like putting up my phone to the thing, so I'm like, yeah, everyone's doing this shit, but whatever. Yeah. it's fun. It was fun. I had a good time with it.
I was definitely on the camp of I will never look at this picture again. B, NASA's taking pictures. I think I can just look at NASA's pictures. I don't know if I needed mine on my 13 mini.
That's fair. That 5x optical zoom really, really kicked in. I was like, yeah,
beautiful.
Finally, for this moment, it was worth it.
I was just looking at my phone screen today, not doing anything on my phone, and like in like a minute of just like looking at it, I was like, oh, it went down 2%. It's just on. The mini is so brutal, but I need it because of my hands. Yeah, so, yeah. Danny, what are we talking about today?
Today, we are talking about brand new Star Wars Outlaws trailer. Star Wars game is still up and running despite all the layoffs at Ubisoft. So this is the Ubisoft open world game. We just got a story trailer for it. So we'll talk about a little bit of that, some Star Wars stuff, what we can expect or what we will expect. We gotta talk about the big thing besides the eclipse from this weekend in media. J. Cole and Kendrick Lamar. J. Cole dropping a response on Friday, and then in less than 48 hours, reneging that diss track. So we want to get into that, talk a little bit about some of our favorite rap beefs, but then also like what the hell is going on there, because J. Cole fans are going through it. And Apple just made it possible for emulators to be downloaded from the App Store, not even from third parties app installs, from the App Store directly. And I think there's a lot of FTC stuff I think that they're reacting to a little bit, the lawsuits, a lot of EU stuff. So we'll get into a little bit of that.
Danny, I have some thoughts on that and just generally mobile gaming. But Danny, so the Star Wars trailer, let's start there.
Yeah.
So I watched it twice, and both times there was like moments where I was like, wait, are they trying to insinuate in some way that this is part of Jedi Survivor worlds? 'Cause some of the ship interior felt similar. Like I was almost like, wait, did you use some of their stuff? Like, I was like, this looks really similar. Or is it just there's a general Disney guideline given to anyone doing a Star Wars property?
Maybe, yeah.
Could be that. Because, like, that was the big, my first watch takeaway. I was like, okay, so it kind of looks like a less visually impressive version of Jedi Survivor. Just because, like, the fluidity of animation isn't there. Facial animation isn't there. I just didn't, like, I was like, but it's, you know, it's a, the thing about it that I like is I like Star Wars, I like space, I like going in ships, I like being an outlaw. Yeah. All those things are great. But then I was like, this also, how tied is this going to be to the trilogies or whatever? Is this just going to be the same Ubisoft open world that all of them are? Likely yes. So this is just you know, putting a Star Wars skin over an Assassin's Creed game.
Yeah, that's what I'm like a little concerned with. I mean, I'm still gonna play it, but I wouldn't expect anything to like the first impressions from that trailer, because this is just a story trailer, right?
Yeah,
and I'm like, yeah, this looks perfectly okay. It looks perfectly mid in the actual sense of like, yeah, this is fine. This is literally just okay. Nothing super spectacular or anything about that. I think the most interesting stuff is like the timeline and that it's not a Jedi player character that you're right. playing, I think is what makes this the most interesting. Like, oh, you're going to play like a normal person in the Star Wars setting as a rebel or whatever. Cool. I'm into that premise. They have the Han Solo and the Carbonite section. So it's like, okay, so this is set somewhere in Empire after Empire or whatever, right? It's like it's is the timeline here. And then, yeah, some classic, like, here's Jabba. They kind of do, like, the Han Solo and Luke stuff where it's like, you're and, like, presented and, into Jabba.
And therein lies why it is going to be boring.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. I'm like, oh, cool. So it yet another
fan service-y. Just, like, a little too fan service-y almost.
Well, it's not even fan service at this point. Like,
yeah.
Because who's clamoring for, like, it's not fan service. It's like, it's as if this galaxy far, far away that is humongously infinite has thousands of years of history. It's like the people that are making stuff don't know that, and they're like, we gotta have Jabba. There could never have been another gangster in the Star Wars universe.
Right.
Hey, just so you. Oh no. What if they're having coffee and the table's Han Solo? Think about that. They'll freak out. They love Han Solo. No, they don't. Because Han Solo is from a movie nearly 50 years ago. Like, you know what I mean? Like, sorry. Like, it's not interesting anymore to just put something within it because it also gives it a ceiling. Andor is like the only thing.
God, if
that I could say has successfully like tried to do a spinoff without it eventually becoming referential, though I bet you Andor season 2 is maybe gonna feel more connected because we're leading up to Rogue One,
which was the
best, you know, one of the best versions of that. But it's like, hey, you're not playing as a Jedi, you're playing as like a scoundrel.
Have fun with this, man.
But it's like still the same thing. Like, you're not going to get anything new about this. We're going to give you a little bit of a time on like an Ewok planet. You're going to get some time on a Chewbacca planet. You're going to see, you know, like Coruscant, and that you're going to maybe get a pod race mini game. Like, but it's all things you've already done in all of the video games that Star Wars have ever created. Nothing will be different.
It's really frustrating because I feel like we are generally pretty critical of Star Wars things, but not for the mainstream bullshit Star Wars criticism of like, women and Star Wars.
Oh, no, stuff. I'm just
it's
like,
more like,
we've told the same story for 9 movies.
Let's have some fun. Take some goddamn risks with this universe that, you're right, is so sprawling and large. The lore is so deep. Like,
yeah.
Man, we could just, I don't know, you could just create something so unique that is still Star Wars, like, would be, it's all there.
Create a new character in 10,000 years before the Luke Skywalker.
Yeah.
Like, because there's that whole age of Star Wars that Disney, like, really was opening up in the books and extended universe stuff. And I was like, really, I was like, oh, cool. This is like golden age of the Jedi stuff. I hope that we start seeing things around that where, what is the world of Star Wars without the specter of the ultimate Sith that can control everything?
Right.
There's always a Sith. There must be. But like, there's a shitload of Siths. Like, what about like Dark Plagueis? Like,
yeah.
He figured out how to stop cheat death, they said.
Let's explore some of that. Yeah.
Let's see him. Let's see that. That sounds fun.
Yeah, it's really give frustrating.
Give me the first lightsaber. The person that built the first lightsaber.
Yeah, yeah. Like how, like,
give me a blacksmith lightsaber 4-hour epic that's just like, I created a laser weapon.
Just change everything. Man, it's, look, I think we still very much enjoy Star Wars, and it's all it's annoying because we care, because we like it. So we'll see. I mean, not expecting a ton from this game.
Yeah.
But I'm still going to play it. We're still going to play it.
Yeah. I also am very excited to go see Phantom Menace back in theaters in May.
Yes.
Just if we're talking Star Wars, I will be there 100%.
100%, man. 100%.
I watch that movie once a year probably. And every single time, I'm like, it's a good movie. It's a good movie. I really do think it's good. It is insane, but it's good.
Wild. It is wild, man. Duel of the Fates with that last, it's so damn good.
You're
so
right damn one good. Thing, Qui-Gon, the negotiations were brief. Come on, that's Star Wars, baby. That's Star Wars.
Just a like, little. That's like little jabs.
It's so good. It's so great. Good. But yeah, so you know, Star Wars Outlaws, playing by the rules, some would say. That'll be the big line of the reviews.
Oh, man, that's good. That's good. I like that. Good that's, job. Yeah. That's yep.
Earmark that for every review you read. It will be that. Okay, so Danny, rap beefs. Let's get into it.
Oh, boy.
So we had J. Cole, who is someone that I've never been that into.
Yes, this is why I kind of want to talk about this with you specifically. Yes,
and you like you Jay big into J. Cole.
Yeah, I'm a fan of J. Cole. I am a fan of J. Cole.
And you have tried to get me to listen to J. Cole. I've had multiple friends in my life like make playlists on Spotify and be like, you're gonna get it this time. I love that one song. Rest in peace, Uncle Phil.
That's basically
all I need. From my J. Cole. I think he's a good rapper. Like, I don't have anything against him. I just, like, don't follow J. Cole, you know? It's like one of those artists where you're just like, all right, I'm just not going to do this one because there's too many other ones that I got.
To be fair, I think J. Cole can hit, like, this sometimes awkward range of, like, the, not lyrical miracle, but, like, the pseudo-socially conscious, like, think rap realm that is actually pretty surface level depth.
He is a rapper. I would never think of J. Cole as like a super deep rapper.
No, it's usually like stuff that's pretty surface level, kind of like, you know, emotions on your sleeve type stuff, which J. Cole fans get annoyed at by saying, like, if like insinuating that like lyrics don't get that deep. I'm not saying that all songs and that he has no good bars. He does have good bars.
Oh, yeah, no, his bars are good. Like, that's like why you listen to J. Cole, is because he puts words together fun.
But the amount of content and just the amount of songs out there, it's too much. It's too much. So most of it is very surface level.
Yeah.
It's just the truth. Like,
wasn't his last album like quantity quality? Like 27, 28 tracks. But I did have some people tell me like that was their album of the year, and I was like, damn, I should have really given it more of a listen, but it's hard for me to think a 27 track album. Well, the Cowboy Carter is but it's hard to say, you know, so contradiction to every rule.
It's okay. So he drops Might Delete Later. This is in response to Future and Kendrick Lamar a couple of weeks ago on Like That, where he basically goes after Drake. The brunt of this feature is going after Drake in particular. I think that's the part where people are forgetting.
Which I think the right move.
Yeah, yeah.
Go after Drake. But I think we're well documented there.
It was fun. It was like a fun, like, oh my God. He didn't go quite as hard as he did on the Control verse. But it was a fun time. And it was just, I like rap beefs when, you know, rappers start jabbing at each other. I think it's just a good time. It makes for entertaining content. And like, it's not like in the 90s where like they're gonna like end up shooting each other, right? Like that's just not what happens anymore, really.
Well, if you watched like cable news in the last week with all these rap beefs, what I just saw come up is, did you know that teenage rappers are killing people specifically so they can actually talk about killing people? And I'm like, who's killing people and then still being able to be a rapper? Like, and who's actually committing murder for a rap song? Show me the proof.
And if that happens, and if that song gets any sort of attention, like, it's always like, hey, why did you admit this crime in open in a song? You are now caught.
And also, people saying that this is happening, have you been assuming that all rap was just factual this
right,
whole time?
Right, right, right.
Like up, like, and then you're like, well, now they're, it's still all true, but now I don't like the way that it's becoming true. Right. It's like,
come on.
So, you know, there's already that, but.
And it, yeah, so that's where we are. It was just fun. It was a fun verse. I think it was a strong feature from Kendrick. I don't think it was like particularly like scathing. He just like name dropped a track that they were on. He said, no, I'm the best, actually. Forget
Big Three. I gotta say, I listened to the Kendrick verse and I'm like, I can barely tell what's being dissed about, really.
Well,
like,
because
it wasn't that deep. It wasn't. It was mostly just like another way for Kendrick to boast, more than it felt like a straight attack on like Drake. But you know what I mean? It wasn't like the old.
He didn't like really go for him, anything like that. It was more like, stop sneak dissing me and stop mentioning me with you two. It's just me. I think it's just me. Whatever. It was fun, but it was pretty basic for even for Kendrick. So J. Cole dropped 7-minute drill, which runs 3 minutes and 32 minutes. Pretty basic stuff.
Okay, wait. I'm sorry. It's called 7-minute drill and it's only 3.5 minutes long.
The idea is that you repeat it and.
And then it's
it's not very good, not very well done.
Okay, so far 0 points, J. Cole. That's just confusing. That's unneeded. I don't understand why
he starts a track light work like PWC, which is like the power.
I like that. I'm good with
stuff,
it.
Whatever.
I'm
like it. Okay, I like that. It's fine. It's a little corny. But, you know, whatever. It's like, all right, cool. It's kind of silly, but kind of fun. And basically the entire time is like, hey, Kendrick, you better watch out because this is my warning shot that I will kill you in, you know, lyrically and in a verse. But the big stuff here, I thought it was a very fine diss response back. Like, very, like, it wasn't the worst. It was kind of corny, but it wasn't like good. The big thing that he got into trouble, or not trouble, but like people were like, what are you talking about? Is he goes into his against his discography, right? So he pulls references to Jay-Z diss against Nas of like 4 albums, 12 years, I can divide. That's almost bar for bar what Jay-Z said about Nas. And then he goes like, hey, your first album was a classic. So he starts off this by saying, praising his discography, his first one. Your last stuff was tragic, referencing Mr. Morale. And your second stuff was ass, but people gassed it. Specifically talking about To Pimp a Butterfly.
Literally.
It put
insane.
People to sleep, but they gassed it anyways. And here's what went wrong. This was fun for me. I've been on the Reddit threads all weekend. I've been on Twitter and the TikToks coming up, and the J. Cole fans were like, yeah, I'm finally glad someone said it. To Pimp a Butterfly is trash. And I'm like, and nobody was picking that up. It felt like, if you know what it felt like, when that one kid on TikTok said, we're done with the 90s, and like did the low lights of Jordan not going left in like the first game of the finals in 91. And I felt like the kids went there with To Pimp a Butterfly here with this one, like, yeah, To Pimp a Butterfly, trash. But no one picked it up because, like, no, it's just, I don't even think J. Cole believed that. It's just not true. Not only is it one of the greatest hip hop albums of all time, if not the greatest one, it's literally one of the greatest albums, period, of all time.
Yeah.
So, okay, so all of this goes down. People are like, yeah, this one's kind of corny. It doesn't really work. Fine. He responded because he kind of had to. And then on Sunday at Dreamville Fest, J. Cole goes on stage. And he's like, I got to say something because it's literally been like I couldn't sleep. And like, it's been eating at me for days. I apologize. I want to apologize for my lame diss track is what he said. These are words that J. Cole said. He's like, who thinks Kendrick is one of the best to ever pick up a mic? I'm like, all right, man, I get it. Like, you're like, it's kind of going like in a, I'm not going to knock him too much for that. It's like, okay, whatever. He's like, you know, I kind of did this on a whim and whatever. But it's like, but you recorded this, you listen to it, and then you put it out. And 2 days later, when you're probably not getting the response that you expected, or like if people weren't really gassing it up, like weren't hype about it, you're like, actually, my bad, I take it back. And allegedly he said he was going to remove it from streaming. It's still up as of this time. Just what a weird way.
That's super weird. Honestly, though, the thing is, that's such a J. Cole move. Like, in my head, like, not knowing a lot about J. Cole and like not really listening to him, in my head it makes so much sense, man. With like, this is the reason why I never got into J. Cole, because fake tough, dude. Fake tough. I don't it doesn't work for me. Like especially because J. Cole has never been like, I'm a tough guy rapper as much. No, like, yeah, he'll talk about really where he's from, just like, but he's never been like where it's Kendrick Lamar will literally be like, you know, sing about me, I'm dying of thirst, like, or what's the long song on that's Sing About Me, I'm Dying of Thirst, yeah, like the 12 minute long song about, like, you know, gang violence, brothers dying, all that shit. And it's like, well, J. Cole, okay, like, again, you do have one of the best lyrics of all time, rest in peace Uncle Phil, for real. Love that. And I get it. That's who raised you. I get it. It's all good. But it's like, you're never, like, you're just not going to beat Kendrick Lamar, because there's something about Kendrick Lamar that I think why J. Cole went back on it. Kendrick Lamar is fucking scary. Like, if you, like, Kendrick Lamar is a person who does not fuck around. Like, you can just, in everything he does, the man does not fuck around.
He's,
you know, like, he's nearly a humorless person, it seems. You know what I mean? He's so serious about what he does. I'm like, you're not going to... Come on, dude. Like, good Lord. And then Drake, like, dude. Drake, you can't write a beef track because you were on a Canadian TV show as a person in a... Like, you just can't... You don't have street cred.
I kind of want him to do it, though. I kind of want him to do it because I do think... Here's the thing.
Degrassi. The show was Degrassi.
Yeah. I remember Degrassi. I kind of hope he did it, though, because I do think Drake's ghostwriters can give him some fun bars.
Well,
some
fun
bars.
So there it is. Therein lies the problem.
But imagine if a track in the vault somewhere that Kendrick probably has, just like really scathing and going after him. Like the premise and like the promise of that hitting the airwaves in any capacity is exciting, and it would be great. It would be cool as hell to listen to.
And I'd also say, in terms of beef tracks that have come out, J. Cole's is as bad as Nicki Minaj's, because hers was terrible.
Hers
was really,
really
bad too.
Really
it was
bad.
Really bad.
I don't know if it was this bad. I don't know if it was that.
I don't
but
know.
But also, that's maybe
bad.
The J. Cole fan
There's,
in me.
There is barely... There is barely a bar on Nicki Minaj's.
That's what I'm saying. And like this, J. Cole.
No, J. Cole
track
was
isn't
better,
as bad.
But,
isn't
but
as
it's
bad.
Still, it's,
not
like,
it's, but it's still not good. It's still not good.
Yeah, it's the thing about, so the thing.
It's just like, why put it out? If you felt that way in the first place, like, why put it? I get it. The whole, like, okay, after the fact, I'm kind of reneging on it, whatever. Now I feel bad. I don't know, man. I get it from like a, like, you know what? I'm too old for this shit, potentially. But from like, y'all, they're jabbing, they're sparring. Again, the original verse from Kendrick here on Like That wasn't even primarily at J. Cole.
Yeah. Yes. That is a weird part of it. I think maybe like when he like mentioned 3K, like Andre 3K, maybe J. Cole, that's where he was thinking, because he likens him. I think he likes the idea that he's a lyricist like Andre.
Yeah, J. Cole says, I got the stick on me, is like a double entendre on like lyrically being harsh and also like a literal weapon.
Yeah.
And that's what makes this whole thing so much more like, yeah, no. I'm not just going to give J. Cole like a straight up pass unless, oh, he's being mature. It's like, no, come on, bro. Like you're literally saying, I will kill a man on a track like many times in your entire discography, including in this attempted Kendrick response this.
Yeah.
And the whole idea of like, this is just a warning shot, like a warning shot to the warning shot to like the side jab you got, like, well, that doesn't make any sense. Like, oh, you pushed me. You gave me a slap. So this is my warning to you that I'm going to respond if you make me. What?
So here is my take on why and I will even say Kendrick Lamar's, it's barely, I won't even call it a beef first, really. It is, but it isn't. Everyone's missing what makes a good beef track. Nicki Minaj almost had a little bit of it in the sense of just did one little thing right. But what you do for the best beef track is you have one single thesis, right? You have one thought. Think about Nas. Nas's is fuck Jay-Z is the first thing that happens.
Yeah, yeah.
And his whole thing is Jay-Z is gay.
Jesus.
Like, that is the entirety. I know. We're talking about a song.
I know.
But the reason that one's so good is it's just a really good lyricist like Nas figuring out how many different ways can I insult Jay-Z's masculinity and sexual orientation and the people around him's sexual orientation and masculinity. Because at that time, being masculine in hip hop was really, really important.
Yeah, yeah. This is
and
like the peak
whole
of
thing
gangster
was
rap.
Jay-Z
yeah.
wasn't actually as street as he insinuated.
Right.
Because
right.
he had become famous pretty young and has kind of had that track, right? But it's like, but that's the reason why that is the best diss track of all time. It's offensive. Which
oh,
it should
super,
be. A diss track should be offensive. It should make you feel bad about listening to it because it's an argument.
Yeah, it's like
people say shit that's fucked up in arguments.
And they
like,
get kind of
like
personal.
Makes,
they get
yeah,
kind of
like,
personal.
And that, so the because Nicki Minaj, like, she was focusing on like the like big feet, like having too big of feet. Like that was like her like stanza. And I'm like, it's
yeah,
you got like that's the right instinct. But the whole thing should have been about that then. Right?
Yeah, yeah. It's well, it's like I think about even like Pusha T's, like the story of Adidon. You remember that in 2018? The like, you know, outing Drake hiding the sun, and you know, he like went after like, hey, your best friend's dying. Tick, tick, tick. How much time they he got you? That man is sick, sick, sick. That's like the double entendre, like the 666, the production company with with Drake. Like that's like, oh shit. Well, I remember hearing that the first time. I was like, ooh, this is kind of messed up. Like there was an entire debate about like the ethics of like, was that okay for him? That felt like a low blow. Like this
no, and the
was
answer
harsh.
Is the answer yes. is it's a diss track.
Yes, it's a diss track.
So yes, it's okay.
Yes.
Sorry, there's no rules in diss tracks. That's why, and that's why these ones aren't hitting for me.
Yeah, no, it's
is because
there's that's why still, it feels so weird to like apologize and draw back on 7 minute drill.
They're scared of their persona, their image. Like when Nas writes that song, right? And then he goes, I'm going to release this. He was not thinking about if this is going to help or hurt my legacy. He just thought, I fucking hate Jay-Z. And like going back to Star Wars, like he let the hate flow through him.
Excellent, excellent callback.
And there's a reason why the dark side is cool. Like is really what it comes down to. Like if you're going to do a diss track, I want it to be something that if it wasn't a diss track, you would get canceled for. Like, you know what I mean? Like, get that, go that hard on it. Or don't do it. Like, because it's not fun when it's in the middle. It's not like, what are you even talking about, Drake shit, Kendrick? It's like, dude, it's all right there, man. Just make fun of him for being on a teen soap opera for 3.5 minutes. That's it. Easy. Super easy. It's right there. It's right there.
Oh, man. It's like, come on, man. We could have had like some fun rap, hip hop, jabbing over the summer. Canada.
Yeah, like just like straight up.
And it wasn't. And now we're basically going to get none of it unless somehow Drake, which he will 100% not escalate. Drake's just going to post like some Instagram stories and cry and then go text a minor.
Yeah. Standard Tuesday for old Drakey boy. I do think that there's a potential that Kendrick just goes, all right, I'm just going to do a 3-verse song where I take down everybody.
He could just do like a victory lap thing.
Yeah.
Which would be fun. Yeah. Let's do it. Do it. Come on. Do it. Come on, Kenny. K dot. Let's go. Yeah. It was a fun time. And with that, let's talk about NBA leaders at the App Store.
Yeah.
God, we are all over the place here. All right, so Apple has just updated their developer guidelines for the App Store and for iPhone and iPad. And it will allow, effective now, game console emulators, even downloadable games. However, developers are responsible for all such software offered in their app, including ensuring that such software complies with the guidelines of, you know, the developer guidelines and all applicable laws. So that doesn't mean that, like, you know, you're going to get a bunch of ROMs and like old school PS1 games and Nintendo games and Game Boy games available directly, but the emulators will now be available. Or at least they are allowing them. So you should start expecting them to pop up. I think this is, I don't know, it feels like a strange way to potentially start softening whatever, like the lawsuit and like whatever they're going to be forced to do by the FTC and like the lawsuit here that's coming in, on top of like a bunch of EU stuff of like letting, you got to let third-party developers install from outside of the App Store and all of that stuff. I don't know. This one feels like a weird one, considering that, like, what was it, like a month ago, Nintendo took down the Dolphin emulator, like, successfully, mm-hmm. because they, I think they got them on some technicality of, like, using the source file in order to play the GameCube games or whatever. So I don't know. This is a strange one that Apple's like, okay, fine, emulators, okay.
Yeah, it's it a little bit also seems to make some sense with like what has Apple been trying to do, right? Like,
yes,
we know that they want to do more game stuff, so it also could be just like, oh, well, this kind of helps us in this situation we're in, but also we wanted to do more gaming on your phone, right?
Right,
so it could, I don't know, it. I'm interested to see, like, is this a big enough opportunity for someone like Sony, someone like Nintendo, someone like, you know, even like freaking Sega, like Dreamcast, whoever owns like the copyright to like the Dreamcast catalogs and whatever. Yeah. I would make an emulator and put it up on the App Store. Like, if I'm Sony, PS1 emulator, effectively make every PSP
good point.
Game. Like officially available through a PSP emulator, a PS Vita emulator. Like, there's an opportunity for, you know, unfortunately, like some of like the emulator Wild Wild West, where it's like you can get any game for free. Maybe that becomes harder because more they'll step into it. But at the same point, like, that would be sick to be able to have access to that on my phone, because this is what I wanted to say, Danny. I've been playing more games on my phone lately. There's something about the first half of the year. It's been like 3 years in a row where for some reason I just like don't do a lot of console gaming and end up just like playing little dumb phone games, like, you know, Vampire Survivors or the like. What was
the other one? Brotato.
Brotato, 20 Minutes Till Dawn. I'm now playing Pickle Pete. Which is another bullet hell type of game. Like, it's not like I'm playing like every game in the world. But one thing that I'm really realizing with games on mobile is how insane they can be. Like, how many different systems they will have to keep you engaged, and like just how blatant the the, like, we want you to never leave this game stuff it is. You know what I mean? It's really interesting to see. Like, Pickle Pete, for an example, has the main game, just like a roguelike bullet hell, get through the level, upgrade, get through the level, upgrade. Classic room-based roguelite with some meta progression, just like anything. But then it's like you go over a little bit and you're like, wait a second. What is this? And then you start it and you're like, this is a completely different way of playing this game. Like, where you can only shoot when you're not moving. And then you go to the next one, and you're like, wait, now this is a 2D platformer game that still has the mechanics. And then you do another one and you're like, wait, this is like a, now it's one of the running games. What are those called? Like, where you always have to be moving forward. Those are called something.
The runners or something like that.
But then it also has that. And I'm like, wait, this. And I was like, this is, there's like 16 games in this game. It's really interesting where mobile gaming is at, because I'm like, I would love a Sony emulator to get in there, because then I would stop playing all of these games that are just like, you can't actually progress unless you give us money. Or play it for forever.
It's like peak. I mean, mobile games and mobile apps have like, they have basically peaked as far as like knowing the exact sweet spot, quote unquote sweet spot, to try to get you to monetize for like the micro gamification of like progression and like the little gameplay loop. Where like, this is just addicting enough and just quick enough, and the loop hits just right with the progression, and we're going to give you a little taste here and there to like, now if I want to progress the thing because I'm playing and it's been 20 minutes now, I can pay and boom, I'm progressing. And then it just keeps repeating over and over.
So here's my other thing. As I'm playing all of these games, which are basically just clones of each other, right?
Pretty much,
It's like there's a lot of them are actually like the same developers will make like 15 different versions of it. Like Pickle Pete, Survive.io, like they're all like the same developer. Yeah. Why aren't we making just a random ass bullet hell game? Because they all seem to make shitloads of money.
Yeah. Maybe we should.
Like, what? Like, honestly, they're so simple in the sense of what they like most of them are square map. Just put some shit in there. All of the animations are the same across all of these games.
Yeah.
Like, the art is the same. You might tweak it a little bit more cartoony, more pixels, less pixels. They're all using the same, like, music shit. So it's, like, free music that just is, like, blah, 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 and then it's just, like, all the little sounds of everything hitting gives you that little Frisian kind of feeling a little bit of like the, you know, like all
that's
the little sounds.
That's pretty impressive. Wow. That's pretty good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But I'm like, we should just pivot our careers and just shit out like three of those a month. Like, just get it. Just keep reskinning it. Just like, because to be honest, it's hard to not spend money on these games.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Because they are putting it in every part. You're accidentally going, wait, you want to buy this? And I'm like, no, I don't.
There are like 10 different places where like some of these games where you can accidentally spend money on. Season pass? Super season pass? No, you just want one of these little things? You want a little skip? You want an ad skip?
You want 50 fucking gems? Yeah. Fucking 99 cents. Give it to me. Give me something. Like,
wild.
It's a wild place playing more of these. But
So.
So I'm like looking for, like, it'd be nice to just play an emulator, because like that's kind of why I play mobile games. It's like when I just want to be cozy snuggled up, like, you know, laying down on in my bed or on the couch, where I'm like, I barely want to be involved in playing this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And some of the older, like, not first gens, but like the PS1 games, the Super Nintendo games, like those, I think a lot of those are like perfect for that, like quick in and out.
Exactly.
And then yeah. with emulators, you get save states. So it's like, boom, I can just drop it right here and pick it right back up whenever yeah. I want. Yeah. Yeah, man, I think mobile, for as much as like the hardcore gaming handhelds, like the Steam Decks and all of those of the world, the Switches even, for as popular as that they've become, I still think that the future of like portable gaming is on your cell phone.
Yeah, because it's like, it's going to get to a point where what is in a cell phone
yeah.
can play anything as good as a dedicated device.
Right.
And then maybe it becomes, oh, okay, well, sorry. Instead of playing on your cell phone, if you get a new gen iPad, same, it's like, you can just, that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. You're good.
And maybe they'll start to make iPads with like a form factor that is better to like click into a controller.
Yeah.
You know, like the dedicated device, there's too many of them already. I just don't.
It does feel like we're about to reach oversaturation if we're not already there.
Yeah, I just saw today that one of the offshoots of the offshoots, like one that we saw at CES, maybe the one that we got the pillow of.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
The A one,
the Asus ROG Swift.
Oh no, so it was a different one. Has already announced the second one, and I was like, wait, the first one already. It just came. I was like, wait, how was that successful? Because I can't even place the name, but it announced their second one. And I was like, all right. Okay.
Oh, the ally.
Yeah, that maybe it was the ally. Yeah. But I saw there was a second one. But yeah, we're critical mass is coming, and then cell phones are insane with what they can do. So yeah, I do think maybe the Steam Deck survives, these other ones will go away.
Yeah. Yeah, and then the Nintendo device for the Nintendo games will switch whenever the hell Switch 2 ever happens, if it ends up happening. Like a year or two after that, after like the peak has been, critical mass has been reached and it's back on a downswing, that's when Sony will release the PS Vita 2 yeah. or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think I'll be right around the time they do PSVR 3.
God, Sony, Jesus, PlayStation. Sony. For as much as I love them, I also hate them sometimes.
Well, that's living life in today's world. And this is the end of the episode.
It's the end. Bye.
Bye.